Welcome to the India FinTech Diaries, the only podcast focused exclusively on the Indian FinTech market. I'm Elroy.
And I'm Hemant. In each episode, we dive into the latest trends, ideas, innovations, business models, and personalities that are shaping India's FinTech landscape.
We also invite amazing guests who are innovators and industry players that are driving the change that is helping make financial services more modern, innovative, and inclusive in India. Come join us as we explore the changing landscape of FinTech in India. Welcome back to the India FinTech Diaries, your go-to show for all things Indian FinTech. I'm Elroy, your host. We took a brief break in the last few weeks as we attended India's premier FinTech festival, the Global FinTech Festival. Payments were front and center at GFF this year, and I think the sector will see renewed focus in the next few years. And the humble POS machine that's been used to accept payments, which has certainly seen a revolution in the last few years, is definitely going to evolve quite a bit in the future. To discuss this and more, today we have with us Ketan Patel, CEO of MSwipe Technologies. Welcome to India FinTech Diaries, Ketan.
Thank you so much for having me.
Ketan, I was going to your profile and noticed you've had a very interesting career, right? Both as a banker and a FinTech operator. So for the sake of our listeners, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
So, you know, just so that everybody understands, I neither understand banking nor do I understand FinTech. I'm a businessman. Okay. So, started my career with Kotak, stayed out of B school, joined Kotak with a very single view. Out of campus, I had multiple options. My dad told me to take Kotak so that I could learn fast and we could set something of our own.
Okay.
It never happened for 18 years. So, for those 18 years, I worked within Kotak for various departments, started with Kotak Securities, then moved to the bank where I was part of the team which set up housing finance, then moved offshore where I set up the private banking business for Kotak Offshore. So I was in London, New York, Singapore, came back, was part of the wholesale bank, and you set up the new age business where we used to do end-to-end in banking for startups. And with that, I used to manage two businesses, the corporate investments and liabilities business and the government business.
Right.
Then, you know, one of the companies that I had lent to asked me if I was willing to join them and was given sweat equity. That company was not doing too well when I joined. It had a huge NPA problem, plus the AUM was not increasing. So in 2 years, I turned that business around and took it to a 250 crore AUM, 35 crores of profit, and sold my stake to the founder and then moved to MSwipe. So Manish and I know each other for a long, long time. After I quit Kotak, he asked me if I would be willing to join MSwipe, but I didn't want to mix business and friendship. But as luck would have had it, I had to join him. And currently I run MSwipe as the co-founder and CEO.
Ketan, the acceptance landscape of India has undergone quite a bit of changes in the recent times, right? Can you let us know your views on what the state of the acceptance landscape is? What is the growth rate that you're seeing? And what are some of the trends that you're seeing in this space as well?
So, you know, the POS terminal growth rate is now going to be restricted. We have around 6 million POS. I don't see the POS terminals growing by more than 5 to 10% on a year-on-year basis. So whatever growth we've seen in India, that has happened. But UPI has been the game changer, right? The way it is growing is phenomenal. And now with new things coming on UPI, where credit on UPI coming in, credit card on UPI going to come in, I think that is going to change the landscape like nothing else. Like if you just look at the numbers, okay, it took 30 years to reach 6 million POS.
Yeah.
In the last 4 years, the soundbox business, okay, you have 10 million plus sound boxes in the last 4 years. And in the next 5 years, the projections are that this will be a 40 million soundbox business, which will then allow credit card also to be used and credit also coming on UPI, right? So that is the growth that we are seeing. So this is where India is going to be in the next 4 years.
And Ketan, specifically on credit on UPI, how do you see this actually expanding the way people use cards? Is this primarily going to be an urban phenomenon? Are you expecting this to be more broad-based across the country?
So, you know, the UPI example, okay, when UPI came in, people thought that this is more of a urban phenomenon and it will be only in the top 4 or 5 cities. The country taught us that that is not the case, right? We are a very digital savvy country. Everybody is able to use like Google Pay and Paytm is on everybody's apps, right?
Yeah.
There are enough videos where we see where the German ambassador goes and buys something and pays through UPI, right? So
right.
This is not going to be a urban phenomenon. This is going to be a pan-India phenomenon is what I feel, right? But credit, how good are the banks to ensure that this reaches the tier 6 is something which needs to be seen. So it'll be gradual. It'll start with tier 1, 2. But I am sure that in the next 3, 4 years, it'll be, you know, as dominant as UPI is or maybe more.
Ketan, let's speak a little bit about MSwipe as well. I've actually closely followed MSwipe, I think, ever since they got founded, especially since they had a very Square-esque kind of offering initially when they started.
That's right.
So that's what really caught my attention there. And right. MSwipe has had its root in the entire mobile POS terminal space. And from there, it's grown to a wide variety of products and offerings. Talk to us a little bit about the acceptance products and how you've adapted to innovations like QR codes and just like the one that you just mentioned about payment soundboxes.
So you know, other than the soundbox, okay, MSwipe has been a pioneer in all acceptance products in the country, right? So we were the first guys to get those calculator-like Square devices in the country. We were the first to get. We were the first to get the smart POS. Just to tell you, Tap on Pay has become dominant now. All MSwipe terminals, and we have terminals which are as old as 10 years old, have the ability to accept Tap. So, you know, Manish, from that point of view, from a product and tech point, I feel he was a pioneer. He, you know, saw these trends coming and ensured that the terminals were ready. We didn't have to change our terminals when Tap on Pay came, or the earlier, if you remember, the cards or the terminals only had those swipe features, right?
Correct.
All swipe terminals come with swipe plus dip feature from 2014.
Right.
Okay, so Soundbox is the only place where Paytm beat us to it. They were the pioneers in getting this to the country. But otherwise, you know, we've always focused on keeping our products, you know, we focus on quality, price. So you will find that most of my products, we are different from the others. All my devices will be different. You'll never find somebody else using similar devices because we manufacture our own devices.
That's very interesting.
And from a price point of view, we've tried and kept it as cheap as possible for the quality that we give.
You don't mind me asking, what's the business model under which you operate? Do you charge the merchants a commission fee or something else that works out there?
So it's a rental plus MDR. Okay. Share of the MDR that we make. So three revenue items that I would see in the payment business for me. One is, of course, the rental.
Yeah.
Second is a small part of the MDR which comes to me.
Right.
And third is value-added services.
And Ketan, what's the kind of volumes that you see today? What is the kind of POS terminals you have deployed, etc.? You mentioned a few numbers earlier also, but it'd be great if you could recap them as well.
So we have around 630,000 POS in the country. We process around 4,000 crores of TPV on a monthly basis on them.
And Ketan, I think the most interesting thing about MSwipe in the last couple of years, at least that I've noticed, is it's one of the only companies that's managed to get a payment aggregator license, a PPI license, and an NBFC license. So talk to us a little bit about how you're looking at growing MSwipe with payments being at the top of the funnel, and how you're looking at lending as being the next big thing to fuel the next year of growth.
So, you know, you're right. We are the only company which has all the three licenses, and we want to use all the three licenses to ensure that we cover the ecosystem and help the ecosystem grow, right? We are focused on merchants. We don't want to do anything. Even my PPI is more merchant-centric than consumer-centric, right?
Okay.
We want to issue these PPI cards to the merchant so that he can make payments. All these guys don't get credit cards, right? There is a settlement amount which is lying with me. I can load it on the card if the merchant wants, and he can use it for payments. Same is for lending. We want to lend only to our merchants, right? We want to ensure that, and we don't want to look at the merchant the way other banks or NBFCs are looking at them, because these guys will not have a great CIBIL score. They will not have a great IT return, right?
Right.
I have a great access to their transactions with me, right? I know month on month, what are they doing? How are they growing? If they've been with me for a long time, I know their cycles well, right?
Right.
I know how many unique debit cards are coming in, how many unique credit cards are coming in, what sort of cards are being used. So how many MX are being used on a month-on-month basis, how many premium cards are being used, are the same cards being swiped on a month-on-month basis. I can even tell you what is the loyalty, right?
Correct.
What percentage of the from the card data, right? And are there any chargebacks? Taking, whether you believe it or not, all payment companies are lending to the merchant directly or indirectly, right?
Right.
I'll tell you how. I settle on T+1.
Right.
I'm still open for a chargeback for 180 days.
Correct.
Right. So I'm anyways, trusting the merchant that the transaction which has happened is right and there won't be any chargeback.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm taking a credit call on him.
Correct.
It is not different from any working capital requirement that I would give him. So that's how we've structured our lending. What is the total credit limit? What is the call that I'm willing to take on the merchant, right? On a monthly basis, on a daily basis, what is the volume that I'm going to allow him on my platform without questioning him? And is the lending limit part of that overall limit? Then I'm sorted. That's how we think. So my lending is restricted to my merchants. It is never going to be the first product that I do. It is going to be given to only merchants which have stayed with me for a certain amount of time.
Okay.
So for me, like I said, see, we are a payment company. Lending is a value-added service and not the other way around. Most of the payment companies now call themselves lenders and payments is a value-added service. For us, we are a payment company and will always be a payment company.
Ketan, when you talk about POS-based lending, I think two other questions come to mind. One is, how do you evaluate the data you gather from a merchant's transaction history and what might be some of the red flags that you might see? And the second one is, how do you manage collections? Because the difficult part about lending is not lending per se, but it's actually collecting the money back. Share some thoughts and insights on this as well?
Yeah, you're bang on. So, just think, for data, like I told you, I have access to his entire transaction data with me and I will give him a limit basis only my transaction data, right?
Correct.
So let's say if his monthly volume with me is 100,000 rupees.
Correct.
I will give him a multiple of that. So maybe I'll give him one time or two time that for a period of 12 to 18 months. And I will deduct the money daily from his settlement.
Okay.
So unlike other banks and NBFCs, see why merchant lending in this country has not succeeded, right? It's only because you would give a EMI-based lending to these guys. And for the 30 days that between two EMIs, you would not know what is happening at the merchant shop.
Right.
You would get to know only if the EMI on the due date goes through or bounces.
Right.
If it bounces, then you would go to the merchant and more often than not, you would have seen that the shop is not there. In my case, that will never happen, right? If it doesn't transact with me, for a day also, I will get to know. I will call him and ask him if everything is okay with my terminal and his shop.
Correct.
If he tells me that, there is a wedding in the family and the shop is shut for 3-4 days, I know that there are no transactions going to happen for 3-4 days, but I know what is happening at his shop on a daily basis. If the volumes go down, I know what is happening, right? With my money, ideally the volume should go up, right? Because he's going to use it for working capital. He's going to buy more stuff and sell more stuff.
Correct.
So those are the things that we observe and we've been successful. Lending is very simple here. It's people like us who make it complicated.
That's a very good point, Ketan. I think the other question I had is, since you're actually kind of collecting the money right from the POS terminal, from the kind of settlement that you owe to the merchant, right? Hmm. Have you thought about maybe expanding this entire collection infrastructure to the wider lending ecosystem?
We've done that, yeah. We've done that. So we've started a company in collections and now we've started. We want to focus only on this unsecured lending where we understand that a bit. More focused on merchant lending and we want to focus only on NPAs. So that we've done here. We've started, it's 3-4 months old, but in the last 3-4 months, we've been able to tie up with 7-8 NBFCs, 3 ARCs, 5 banks.
That's very impressive, Ketan. Ketan, you're also looking to expand overseas, right? I understand you're looking at UAE, Singapore, Indonesia, and a couple of other countries as well. Can you shed a little light on your global expansion plans as well?
One thing about MSwipe is we are the only payment company which is vertically integrated.
Right.
So from the onboarding platform to the risk management platform to the gateway to the switch, Everything is owned by MSWIFT.
Very interesting.
And for us, now the investment is done on the platform. To spread an asset outside of India becomes very, very easy. So we have a partnership with Etisalat and we've in UAE, and where we've offered our platform, Etisalat comes with their customers. And we've just started, 3 months ago, we've started UAE. Singapore, I want to do it on my own without any partnership. And Indonesia, we have a JV with Sinarmas Group, which is one of the largest groups in Indonesia. But yeah, we do have global aspirations with these three countries. We also want to get into the Western world. We feel that after surviving in India and making payments as a profitable business in India, Western country should be a cakewalk.
Ketan, let's look a little bit ahead, right? If you look at recent times, you have had innovations like pin on glass, NFC acceptance using mobile phones, which has completely changed how an actual acceptance terminal looks and feels.
Right.
The acceptance terminal that would have been maybe 5-10 years back is not the same one you would see today.
That's right.
So any closing thoughts on how you see the technology in this space evolving over the next 3 to 5 years in India?
Yeah, whatever innovations had to happen have happened. Okay. You always see a period, and that has happened in the Western world also. You'll see 5 years of, you know, continuous innovation and then 10 years of lull where execution happens. I think we are done. 90-95% of the innovation is done as far as payment infrastructure in India is concerned. It's now for execution and taking it to the next level, right? We are still far, far, far away, right? The Western world is 97% on cards.
Yeah.
We are still long way to reach there, right?
Very long way to.
Yeah. So with this innovation, you also need stability and acceptance, right? You can't keep innovating always. So I think we are done. We are done with most of the things that you mentioned. Now, 95% of innovation on payments is done. It's only to ensure that it reaches the, you know, smallest of village, the smallest of guy, and he should be able to understand how to make these payments and make it available to them.
Ketan, I think it was great to have you on the show and it was a great pleasure to speak to you as well. In case any of our listeners wanted to learn more about MSWIFT, what's the best way to do this?
Yeah, they can reach out to me directly on my email ID. I would love to answer it.
Perfect. And I'll also include the details of your website in our show notes as well.
Please do that.
That concludes another episode of India FinTech Diaries. Remember to visit our website, IndiaFinTechDiaries.com, for exclusive content. And until next time, stay safe and keep exploring the world of FinTech.